passed out a song, an old song. And the reason I passed it out, a lot of times when I listen to specials, I can't pick up the words. That's just the way it is when you start getting older. And so this is a great, great song. And singers, when they sing, you're not supposed to do what I'm going to do right now. You're not supposed to make excuses before you sing. We used to sing a lot when we were younger, but and the voice is not what it used to be in either case. But after my problem that I had all summer, since about the last of May, I was wondering if I'd ever get over that. I'm still not over it all the way, but I'm to the point where I can preach again. And I just kind of made a commitment to God. I said, we're going to sing again a little bit. My wife was not too happy about that when I asked her to do it. But she's here, and she's an obedient servant of God, and she has a good voice. So I pass this out, and I see Rawls here. You probably didn't get one, Rawls. I'm going to bring this out to you. This is an old hymn. It has a beautiful melody. To be used of God. I hope you enjoy it.
I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame that's burning deep inside, to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming love, to be used of God is my desire. Shortness of my earthly years, I remember all the wasted days, the wasted tears. I long to teach the word to those who've never heard, but the one who can dispel all fears. To speak, to pray, to be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire.
I'm going to ask my wife to stay here. And
no, I'm not singing solo.
No. The reason I'm asking her to stay here, we're going to do something that you may not be aware of. But this song goes right along with what's going to happen next. 25 years ago, a man and a woman came to me as a pastor of First Community, and they said they have a child, and they want me to dedicate this child. I didn't know them. They lived in the Warren area. I didn't know what to do, but I talked to them, counseled them, witnessed to them, and I said, I'll do it. I said, but you got to start coming to church, and hopefully you'll get married soon. And they agreed to do that. Well, we dedicated the child. That's the last time I saw him or her for a long time. Not too long after that, this man committed an awful crime because he was under the influence of drugs. He had a rough upbringing. He was a full-grown man at this time. But after I found out who it was again and went down to visit him in the jail and shared the gospel with him one more time, and on his own after that, he confessed to this crime. He was sentenced 15 years to life with a gun specification, and he asked the Lord to save him on his own in his own cell. I wasn't there. It was him and the Lord. He got a good dose of salvation because the next 25 years I followed him around the state of Ohio in the different institutions he went to. And the man was literally changed by God. And that's this song we sang. I get emotional about it because now this man, sad to say, has died. He's with the Lord now. He probably would have got paroled next year. But he so changed his life that I read this story that was in the Tribune Saturday. And one of my Sunday school students come up and said, you need to get that message out. He says, it's in the paper, but I didn't even see it. And so some of you saw it, not too many maybe. And my wife's going to read the story that we put together about this man named Joe Dudley in connection with the used of God. He was used of God in prison in a miraculous way. And so I want to read that to you before I preach to you.
Dear editor, during my years as a pastor of a local church, I came to know very well a man named Joe Dudley. Joe had committed a very serious crime and was sentenced to prison for 15 years to life with a gun specification. I became his minister of record, visiting and counseling him for more than 25 years. Before Joe was sent to prison and was still in the county jail, he decided to ask God to forgive him and his son, and he became... This is a mix. He forgave him of his sin. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. With his newfound faith, eventually Joe became rehabilitated. His life took a completely different direction. Over the years, he shared with me many times how truly sorry he was for his crime. It had a profound effect on him, and now with God's help, he was determined to change his ways. Through the years, starting in Mansfield Correctional, Joe took at least 20 courses that would help him improve his behavior, such as Alternative to Violence, Life Changes for Lifers, and a 4-year course in Alcoholics Anonymous. He attended church regularly and weekly Bible studies with other inmates. Joe needed some learning skills and educational programs. He took at least 14 programs, earning his GED graduation diploma. Next, he took 49 credit hours through YSU with a B-plus average. One of his extended programs was career technical carpentry, lasting several years. When he was transferred to Trumbull Correctional Institution, Joe saw in the Bible that after becoming a Christian, a person should be baptized. He asked me if I would help him to achieve that. I checked with a chaplain, and a few weeks after setting up a temporary arrangement, Joe was baptized by immersion. While at TCI, Joe, through a fellow inmate, began writing to a lady friend. After many visits and letter writing, they decided to be married. Before any wedding, I required a bride and groom to fill out a pre-wedding counseling booklet. Joe Dudley completed his booklet better than anyone I have ever married. They were married June 27, 2003. Joe also develops various talents during his confinement. At church, they had a praise band, and he decided he wanted to learn to play the guitar. So he did, and eventually got good enough to join the praise team wherever he was located. Joe really took an interest in carpentry and became very skilled. A maintenance supervisor at Lake Erie Correctional Institution said this: Mr. Dudley is the head carpenter at LAECI. He has a wide knowledge on all aspects of carpentry, from framing to fine furniture building. Mr. Dudley built furniture for almost every office in the institution. We had him completely remodel the warden's office with cabinets, shelves, and a display table and desk. Another talent that Joe discovered was painting pictures. He got so good he would paint animals and scenery pictures and then donate them. His wife would frame them and give them to charitable organizations for fundraisers. I saw some of them, and they were professional grade. There were many other community services he performed despite never leaving the institutions. One of the biggest was dog training, where again he became very successful. Joe had an official total of 24,533 community service hours of various categories. One of his newest and quite interesting community services was crocheting baby blankets and other baby items for the Bella Women's Center in Warren. They were just beautiful and appreciated by all the mothers who received them. Quite an interesting craft for a big husky guy. In every area, Joe Dudley was a model inmate, and in 25 years did not fail any random drug testing. He was most recently considered for parole in 2015. In his file was a letter of promised employment if he got released. With all of his accomplishments and rehabilitation, I thought sure he would be released. He did not quite make it, but was coming up for parole in 2018. However, the Lord had other plans for Joe. He was diagnosed with liver cancer and other medical issues. He had several operations, but it could not be turned around. In October, Joe went home to be with the Lord. Joe Dudley used every opportunity to change his ways and better himself. He was an amazing success story after his crime and proved by his actions that he was a true follower of God. Pastor Rod Winyard, Pastor Emeritus of First Community Church of Lovensburg.
Of course, we all are in the same boat as far as sin, some worse than others to a degree. And maybe he didn't know what he did, but down at the bottom it said this, the editor had this note: Joe Dudley pleaded guilty to Trumbull County Police Court to a charge of murder after shooting and killing William Peterson of Niles on December 10, 1992, stemming from a road rage incident. He was sentenced to serve 15 years of life. And the correctional institution in Ohio is probably like everyone across the United States. It says Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Well, this man was rehabilitated, and he should have been let loose last time. But they keep some of these guys around, like Joe and another fellow I'm visiting, John King, because they're such good prisoners and inmates. They stabilize the population. And so you don't know much about that, but they use our tax dollars sometimes to keep people in that shouldn't be kept in. Now, I'm not for releasing prisoners, but when you have a record like this, and I didn't tell you everything. I mean, the guy was just phenomenal. He was ready to get out in society. He had a job, he had a skill, he had a wife, he had a home and everything, and he wanted to do that. But like I said, the Lord had other plans, and God called him home. And so he's a lot better off than we are right now. I mean, he has a tremendous success story not because of Joe Dudley, but because of God saved him, entered his body, and then used him in many, many different ways during that time period. I wanted you to hear about that, so thank you for listening. Okay, Thanksgiving, the three W's of Thanksgiving. First W is, what is Thanksgiving? And some of you know some of this, but maybe not all of it. You may read some things here about how Thanksgiving started, and you know the first part from William Bradford with the Pilgrims way back in 1623. He says, inasmuch as the great Father, talking about God, has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, garden vegetables, and made the forest abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from dangers and has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, in the third year since the pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for his blessings. The first Thanksgiving, folks, was supposed to be a time, really, of gathering together in a group and thanking God for their blessings. George Washington also declared that time of the year a day of Thanksgiving, but that didn't stick real good. Have to keep on doing it, and it really wasn't well accepted by a lot of the country for a long time. Of course, the country was pretty small back then. But the story goes on by a lady you may have never heard of. After many, many years, when Thanksgiving was inaugurated nationally, it was rather insignificant event with only a few eastern states participating. Did you know also that a change was effected largely through the determined crusade of one woman? Her name was Sarah Hale, and she was fired with the determination of having the whole nation join together in setting apart a national day for giving thanks unto him, unto God, for whom all blessings flow. To this end, she resolutely set herself with an endless flow of articles and letters to the various newspapers and journals of her time. In addition, she pleaded long and earnestly with Presidents Fillmore, Pierce, and Buchanan during the period of 1846 through 1856. A small measure of triumph was granted in the year 1852 when her campaign succeeded in uniting 29 states in marking the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day. And there's more on that when we come to the next W, but what is Thanksgiving? This is what Chuck Swindoll said about it. I've got a love affair going on with Thanksgiving, he says. It's been going on for over 40 years, as far back as I can remember. Hands down, it's my favorite holiday of all. It seems to blend together all we Americans hold precious and dear, without the sham and the plastic mask of commercialism. Shoppers jump from Halloween to Christmas, and they still do that, don't they? It's spooks to Santa, pumpkins to presents, orange and black to red and green, except for the grocery stores. Merchants are mute when Thanksgiving rolls around. The second W is, when is Thanksgiving? Of course, we all know what it is now, but here's a little bit more history about Sarah Hale. During the dark days of our civil wars, Sarah Hale didn't have much success, or would listen to a lone woman with her persistent plea for just one day of peace amidst the blood and strife. One man did, and for her entreaty won the ear of a great American. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln officially proclaimed the last Thursday of November as the day set aside for national giving of thanks unto Almighty God. Lincoln lived to see only two such occasions, but Sarah Hale lived well late into her 90s, content that her long-cherished hope had at last become a reality. By the tireless efforts of one person, the observance of Thanksgiving Day became a reality. And when Abraham Lincoln declared that, it was passed on to Congress in both houses of Congress, and he signed the bill and the law that the last Thursday in November would be set aside for giving thanks unto Almighty God. And that's the reason for it. But sad to say, we have kind of turned that around a little bit. And let me explain why. So the second W is, when is Thanksgiving? We know what it is now. We're going to celebrate, Lord willing, this coming Thursday. But why do we have Thanksgiving? That's the third W. Why do we have Thanksgiving? Remember William Bradford said in 1623, to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for his blessings. again President Lincoln, as a day set aside for national giving of thanks unto Almighty God. And the world is very clever how they turned Easter around. You know what they've done to that. Of course, Christians may celebrate that to a certain degree, but, you know, to the world, it's Easter bunny and Easter eggs and all that stuff, Easter baskets. So they turned that around. They did the same with Christmas many years ago, with Santa Claus coming on the scene and everything. And all we may participate in that, but not the way the world does, who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I said, well, they'll never turn around Thanksgiving, when in my opinion they have to a certain degree, not entirely. But you'll see this coming Thursday, Warren Tribune, which is a good thing to do, have encouraged people to write in and to say why they're thankful. And I have taken polls on that for the last 2 years. The paper will be filled full of things that people are thankful for, kids, adults, everybody. And the majority of them, like about 80% of them, maybe even 85%, will say that they're thankful, and it'll stop right there. And then maybe they say, we're thankful to the parents, we're thankful to the school teacher. They're thankful, but somehow, some way, we have forgotten to get the message across to them that's a day set aside that to be thankful to Almighty God for their parents, thankful to Almighty God for their good teachers, thankful to Almighty God for their good health, and so forth and so on. We've eliminated that in our society to a certain degree. So I encourage you and myself, as we set aside this day on Thursday, as you have your prayer before your meal, to make sure you thank Almighty God, because that's really what it's all about. And we have Thanksgiving, and I want to share some verses with you now. And, of course, a lot I can say about that, but we have Thanksgiving. Why? Because of the most important thing, in my opinion, as a Christian. And that thing is the gift that God gave to the world through his Son, which is coming up on Christmas time. Now, I call it the most important thing, but it's really a gift. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:15. I think that's going to be on the screen there. 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God. And that gift, again, is what I just said. This unbelievable love story that I still cannot get to the depths to in my heart and my mind, how that God loved us so much as lost sinners to allow his own Son to come and become human and then eventually grow up and die for us on the cross. And his Son went through all that torture and pain and crucifixion, and the Father just stood back and let it happen. Wow, unspeakable. That's right. It's an unspeakable gift. So the gift is a thing in a sense, but it's really Christ. Christ is that gift. And the most important thing to be thankful for as a Christian is the person of Jesus Christ. And I think Psalm 148 kind of indicated that, how much God wants us to be praiseful and thankful to him. The question comes, and I hope as we say this, I know what the answer is in most of your cases. Do you know him? Do you know him? Can you say, all my sins are gone, all because of Calvary? Life is filled with song. Christ my Savior lives from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming. Oh, wondrous, blessed day. Oh, yes, all because of Calvary. A Scottish preacher, now with the Lord, said, remember, everything outside the lake of fire is mercy. Every drop of water is pure grace. If we had what we deserve, we would be in the deepest part of hell. But because of his unspeakable mercy, we are children of God, members of Christ, and saved eternally. And that's why Joe Dudley became who he was. He received that gift of eternal life, and his sin was forgiven. He paid for it for over 25 years. And that's what he should have done. But he was touched by God's grace, and I hope and pray that you have been too. Once you may know him, what thanks we should have, because, and there's a whole bunch of things here I'm going to give to you out of the Bible. Because he's our head, he's our master builder, he's our chief cornerstone, he's our door, he's our way, he's our light, he's our high priest, he's the sacrifice offered, the fire to refine, he's the truth sanctifying, the life all divine. He's our sun. He's our rock. He's our bread and fountain so sweet. He's our branch and vine to overshadow in noonday's great heat. The lily for framing the valley of rose, morning star of our hopes and Sharon's sweet rose. A lamb in thy meekness, a lion in power, our friend, our shepherd in danger's dark hour. The sun on whose arm we may lean in old age, a fellow and brother to thee would we cling. O wonderful counselor, lawgiver, king. And there's many more other words we can get from the Bible to tell us who Jesus Christ is. He's not found per se in the Old Testament, but he said in the Gospels, he said all of the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets, which is the rest of the Bible, he says, they tell of me. That's what he said with his own words. He's the king that's coming, and we're going to see him one of these days. So he is the unspeakable gift that God wants us to continue to serve him with now, time, and future eternity. There's another gift that he has given to us, and that's what I call the good thing. The good thing. This is Psalm 92, verse 1. And it says, if you can read it, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And you read the scriptures, beloved, both Old and New Testament. God wants to be thanked. He wants to be praised. And so make sure that we do that a lot. Someone has said this, and I think this is pretty good. Whether it's completely accurate, I don't know, but I think it makes sense to me. Someone has said there's a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is our expression of gratitude to our God for that which he does for us. That's thanksgiving. Praise is our expression of gratitude to God for what he is to us. One of the things he does for us, one of the things he is to us. We thank God for our being, for being our life, for giving us the gift. He's our Savior. He's our righteousness. He's our representative with the Father. He's our spiritual food. He's our satisfier and our coming Lord. Lots of things that happen when you received him as Lord and Savior. And the Bible talks a lot more about all the things that I just didn't even say. But there's a lot of things we're thankful for God on a regular basis. You know, we thank God for our health. We thank God for traveling mercies, the things he does for us. It seems like praise is the thing that he is. He is. We praise God for being the creator. We praise him for being all holy. You know, his attributes. We praise him for being all righteous, for all powerful, for knowing everything. And when you think about that, this came to me not that long ago. You know, we think, man, how smart he must be. He knows all the stuff we know now. No, he knows all that is to be known. And see, in time, mankind is discovering things that God knows everything. And we're getting smarter and smarter toward him. But we'll never come to the place where he's at. What are the things that we know yet? He knows everything that there is to be known. We praise him because of he's everywhere at one time. We praise him for his pure love. We praise him for being in the heavens. And God really, beloved, is the only one we should give glory to, since he is the only one that has made all these things. It says that God is a jealous God. It's a different type of jealousy than we have. And you can understand that because, you see, God is the first source. There was no heavens. There was no earth. It was God and God alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was not lonely. He was not lonely. He created his earth and the heavens and mankind for his glory. Don't ever listen to read anything that says he was lonely. God is perfect. He was perfect. And he's the only one that we really should give glory to. He's where I built my house. Where did you get the... Maybe you didn't build your house, but someone built it for you if you built a house. Where do you get those trees from? He grew them. Where do you get the minerals from to make the brick and block and all that stuff? You've seen that. It's all from God. It all comes from God. And so he's the only one that should receive ultimately the glory for all things. And God wants us to give thanks and not complaints. And I know in our society, I think we're a little bit too spoiled sometimes as you compare to the rest of the world. Sometimes I become a murmurer. God doesn't like his Christians to murmur. He really doesn't. Here's a little saying that I think is pretty good. It says, count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. I don't know who came up with that, but that's a pretty good saying. Psalm 92:1 again. It is a good thing to give thanks and to sing praises unto the Most High. And so we're going to do that a lot in heaven. So God wants us to learn how to do it now and do it good. The last thing we are thankful for is the powerful thing. The powerful thing. That's found in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And the powerful thing is the victory that it gives to us. I'll be honest with you. At this station in my life, with the things that we've been going through in the last couple of years, I'm still working on that, and you probably are too. We'll never get it maybe the way we want to, but I'm still working on that, to be honest with you. But God wants us to have victory in this life. 2 Corinthians 2:14 again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We who have been born again are on resurrection ground. We are in the heavenlies in Christ. We have passed from death unto life. We have died with Christ, have been buried with Christ, have arisen with Christ, and are seated with Christ. In a positional sense, beloved, according to Ephesians 1, we are positionally seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes I forget that. And start feeling sorry for ourselves. Sin does not have dominion over us now, for we are not under the law. Now, we may sin, but God has forgiven you of your sin, past, present, and future. Doesn't mean he wants you to sin. When you do sin, he wants you to ask for forgiveness for fellowship. But as far as taking you... Gotta catch there for a second. As far as taking you to hell, that's not going to happen. Give me a moment. I'm sure I got some water. That's why I said I'm not completely better yet. That thing happens every once in a while. I'm preaching too passionately here, I guess. Sin does not have dominion over us, for we're not under the law, but under grace. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, now lives within us and gives us power and victory. Victory over sin, over self, over the world, over flesh, over Satan. And like I said, honestly, I'm still working on it, but it's true. And sometimes we need to put all those things that we may be going through aside and focus in on what he's doing for us. And he gives us the victory. Tennyson, British poet, said this. He was walking one day in a beautiful flower garden with a friend, said to him, Mr. Tennyson, you speak so much about Jesus Christ. Will you tell me what Christ really means to your life? Tennyson stooped and pointed to a beautiful yellow flower, said, what the sun is to the flower, Jesus Christ is to my soul. What the sun is to this flower, Jesus Christ is to my soul. Thanks, Jerry. Every once in a while, there's a catch that comes in there, and that's something that I never had a problem with before, so I'm still not completely better, but I'm a lot better than I used to be. You know that. And we're not alone, beloved. If you say, well, I'm not there either, preacher, to be honest with you, it's okay. As long as you're heading in that direction, as long as you're making progress. That's what God wants. In the front of a great cathedral in France stands a statue of Jesus Christ. And on either side are his 12 apostles. This is there today, I believe. I've never seen it. Below them are written their greatest virtues, and in contrast, their greatest vices. In Peter's case, his outstanding quality is his courage. But below it, you'll see a figure of Peter fleeing from a leopard, representing his cowardice. As you know what he did, he denied the Lord 3 times. Then beneath, you will see the same figure, the figure of Peter, sitting on a leopard and riding forth to conquest. The sculptor wished to teach us, by contrast, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the very thing which is a man's weakness can be transfigured into his strength. That very thing for which he fled and became the glorious chariot on which he rides forward, conquering in the conquer. And that's the victory that Jesus Christ gives you in himself. Beloved, why do we have Thanksgiving? For the most important gift, the most important thing, of course, is Jesus Christ. And do you know him? You say, yes. Well, secondly, are you serving him? You can see how Job Dudley served him in miraculous ways. And he was in prison. The second thing, we're thankful, should be thankful for the good thing. And that's to give thanks and singing praises to God. Well, I'll give you one thing that's a little rabbit trail here, is get into more of your music. Sometimes when we kind of slow down and get into a negative mode, my wife was cleaning yesterday, and I was doing things in my office, getting ready for today and everything like that, and she put on the cantata that they're practicing for at First Community, and then she went downstairs, and it wasn't real loud, but I could hear it. I said, man, I like that. Little phrases come up about the Lord and everything. And I think in my case, maybe in your case, you got to stick on more godly music that will touch your heart. God has given us music as a gift, godly music, and he wants us to enjoy that. And I also want to thank Sarah, which I forgot about all the hard practice she did on that song. She never heard that song before, To Be Used of God. We went over to the house and practiced for a few times. But God wants us to be singing praises and thanks on a continuous basis. And then last thing, with all the other things that he has given us, God gives us the powerful thing, victory in our lives. Can you say right now, Jesus Christ has the victory in my life? If not, head back in the direction. He has promised to you. He wants you to have it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for Thanksgiving and how now it's a national holiday and has been for many, many years. And we pray that you'll help us to pass on the word to others, Lord, that it's to be a day set aside, not just to give thanks, but to give thanks to you, because you're where all blessings come from. And Lord, we thank you for you most of all, saving us, loving us, forgiving us, and promising us that we're going to enjoy heaven with you eventually. We thank you, God, for the opportunity now to give you praises and thanksgiving, even when things come to us that don't make any sense. And Lord, we thank you that you promise us the victory in Christ Jesus. May we do our part, Lord, in reading the scriptures and getting along with you, listening to Christian songs that would help us to feel your presence as we sang in that song earlier, Nearer to God. God, help us know that we have to do our part, because you never leave us. We need to sense your presence more than we do sometimes. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Again, all God's people said, let's take our psalm books, beloved, and turn to page 39. And Sarah comes.